live from Atlanta, Georgia. It's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I'm your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've got a great guest. Two ways you can plug in. We are streaming via YouTube, so if you have any questions, pop those into the comment box. We'll make sure to get to them. Always before any interview, Zach@ZachBallinger.com. You can engage with me throughout the week, anytime, any day, and we'll make sure to get to your questions. Without further ado, Ian, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on here, Zach.
So I wanted to learn more about your career in welding. Can you kind of tell me how you got into that and can you give me some information about that particular career?
Definitely. So it kind of started when I was in high school because it was a class you could take. And I took 3 semesters of it going through 4 years of high school. And after that, I was always really interested in skateboarding as well. And so after I left high school, I ended up going into trade school, and they were talking about what trade skill I would want. And I chose bricklaying initially, and I did that because it helps with skateboarding. And then after I got out of school, I saw on an application that welding would also be useful in terms of building skate parks and doing that whole line of things. So I went to the iron workers, which is basically construction that involves welding, but has a lot of other parts to it. And I went into school out in Colorado. I was raised in Montana, and just started there. And the trades are very welcoming, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of people who want to do a lot of other jobs, and trade work can be a little dangerous. So there's always opportunity to go forward into the trades.
Now, what's the process look like? So let's say somebody's in high school, or maybe they're in a career now and they've thought about welding. What does that look like? You know, certification, how long's trade school? Can you kind of walk us through that, what that looks like to be a welder?
Yeah. So honestly, the interesting thing about welding is it's more dependent on your ability to how good of an ability you have for it. Some people are naturally book smart, and then there's some people who can work well with their hands. And obviously welding is going to be one of those trades and skills that's easier to work with your hands. So school can be rather short. For myself, I mean, I've been in and out of it for more than 10 years at this point. So for me to go to school, it could take anywhere from, let's say, 6 months to a year. But for someone else who is brand new to welding, who's never picked up and never touched a welding machine before, could have a longer time. For example, I've been in the same class for probably 2 weeks, right? And there's another guy who is getting into welding just for the money. It's his first time taking the class, has never really touched welding before. And I have some welds that I've done, and the teacher is having me go up to this guy that has less experience than I do. And he's saying, go show him your welds. And I'm like, okay, you know, because I don't really think much of myself. I'm not like, oh, I'm such a good welder or anything. I'm just more focused on making good welds and making sure that I can do what the instructor is talking about. But when the instructor is like pointing out that I should go show somebody else, it indicates that's like, oh, I must be doing a good enough job. And the schooling itself can take as long as it takes. And the benefit of welding and the trade, or the job, you could say, is that you are going to be able to find work even before you do full-time welding. I've taken night classes, for example, and you get paid fairly well for being in that path. So even if it's something where someone isn't totally committed to doing this skill set, that's okay. It's a really good fallback if you end up not choosing to do that.
Now, do you have to work a certain, like, I'm trying to grasp the trade school element of it. So is it, is it in, you complete a certain amount of courses? Is it a certification you need to get? Does it vary by state? Like, can you provide some more insight on what that means for somebody out there listening?
Yeah. The nice thing is once you get a certification, you're just termed as a certified welder. It's not like real estate, for example, where you have to be licensed in a specific state. All you need is the certification, and then you can use that and say, I'm going to go out to another country type of thing. It doesn't matter, because you can just say, I'm a certified welder. I'm certified in this particular type of welding. And that's just universally accepted. So the travel and ease of being able to go to other places is definitely there if somebody wanted to approach it in that way.
And how long is the certification process?
Certification process, once again, it depends. I would honestly say if someone's brand new to welding, has never done it before, I would say give it a year, to be honest. I mean, I know guys who've done it for much longer than I have, and they're still in class learning how to do it better. So it's definitely a lifelong pursuit if someone wanted to take it in that aspect.
Now, in high school, I'm assuming it's kind of it's neat, because a lot of these schools, they give you a trade school option where you can go into auto mechanics or you can go into welding. And so did you kind of know right away, like, it probably didn't take long for you to know if you liked it, right? Or did you kind of pick it up and know, or did it take a little while before you got used to it?
Honestly, it's something that I feel as though I did well at just naturally, but it wasn't something that I ever really considered as far as a long-term path for myself. When I was in high school, I was so interested in skateboarding, and that's all I was really putting my eggs in one basket. You know, all I wanted to do was skateboarding. That was the only thing I was in pursuit of, but I could weld and I knew how to do that. And the thing is skateboarding is actually what led me to getting involved with welding at a later time frame in my life. And it's been honestly the best thing ever. It's so relieving to know that I am in a field that I can stay in, that it's highly usable. It can be used anywhere in the world. You know, I'm always going to have and be able to work.
Gotcha. What do you love about your job? What are you passionate the most about it? What draws you to it? Explain that.
Yeah, I think the constant ability to keep learning in it is something that is so nice for me, because there's not like a plateau. There's not like, oh, I'm good. And I mean, some people do that. They say I'm good enough and I don't have to excel at this. But for me, I have always been very eager to do a little bit better than the day before. And for myself, you can take it as simple as I'm just going to learn this one way to weld, but there's three different ways to weld and they all require a certain expertise to it. And so if you continue learning and growing in the trade and in the skill, then you get more opportunities, more doors open for you. You have more job security as well.
Awesome. Now, this is a difficult question for some. Some other people have it right off the top of their heads. But what's something challenging about welding or your career? What's something that may be difficult one day or people need to know about before they do get involved into the career?
That's a good question. I would say the challenging part to it is kind of reaching that good enough weld, you know, that ability to make sure that you're doing a good enough job, because it might seem really simple, right? You're just putting two pieces of metal together and it shouldn't be that complicated, but it's so interesting to go through and actually have a piece of metal be connected, getting together, and you being the source that is connecting it and learning how to do it, because there's three different ways to weld. There's welding, just if you were to put like they call it flat, there's vertical, and then there's overhead. Flat is just like on the ground, so to speak. And then there's verticals, which are straight up and down. And then there's overhead, which is you're looking up at the thing and you're welding into it. So there's the three different processes there. Yeah. And the challenge of it is just it. I like it a lot, man, because it's something where I'm always going to be able to move and be in a better place than, let's say, like 3 years ago. You know, like if you took me from high school and said, we want you to weld this certain thing, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But as times have progressed and time has moved on, I know how to do this. I know how to do that. And it becomes like a usability factor in a lot of ways.
That's so great. And, you know, I always encourage students or professionals to do job shadowing or preceptorships where they follow around somebody for a week or a few days to see if it's a career that they would be interested. Obviously, with this, this is a pretty good career where just first of all, the trade school element, trying it out in high school. But if you kind of miss that time, another good way might be following somebody around. Well, let's do that virtually. Let's step into that virtual realm. Let's say we followed you around a week and we woke up with you. We had coffee with you. We went to your job site. We left. What does a typical day look like? I know for everybody it changes, but just walk us through maybe one of your typical ones.
Yeah. So it depends. Because there's two different kinds of welding you can get into. One is fabrication welding, which means that you're making the metal stick together. You're putting the two pieces of metal together so then you can send it out to the job. And then there's the other kind of welding, which is you are on the job site and you're making the building of it. Depending on where you're at, if you're going through to the fabrication part of it, you're in the same location every day. So you're waking up probably at the same time. You're going to work at the same time. You're doing probably similar. You might have a variety of things that you weld together. You're going to have your morning, you're going to have your lunch, and then you're going to have the second part of the day, which is just doing more welding. And there's a variety parts of it too. Like you have different machines that you use to cut metal, to make it shinier, to make sure it's grinded down a certain way. And then there's on the job and doing out in the field, they call it, which basically means you're going to a job site. And that kind of welding is probably, it can be waking up earlier in the day, because you have to go to a location. It might be 30 minutes away. It might be an hour away, depending on where the job is located at. Then you arrive and they usually have some morning stretching or routine that they like to do. Then they also meet in a group and they say, okay, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. Then you go out and do your specific task that you have been assigned. Then lunch rolls around just like it would the other job. And then after lunch, you just continue working. But the nice thing about working in either setting is you typically wake up a little bit earlier and you typically get a day off. You get a leave earlier in the day too. So it makes things go by a little bit faster in my own mind, you know?
Awesome. And so I know you kind of mentioned the skateboarding element, but maybe it took you back in a time machine and we took you back in the past, whether it be first, second, third grade. Was there a dream career that you ever dreamed of being when you were a kid?
You know, I wanted to be on a snowboard when I was at the age of 8. And then it switched at the age of 12. I did want to be a truck driver at some point when I was really young. And I think that it was just the one thing I even said to my parents is I just want to be happy. It was real simple. They kind of laughed at it a little bit. I was like, no, I'm serious. Like, I just want to be happy when I get older. And it was, and you know, it's interesting because you think that's such a blanket answer, but at the same time, when you look at it, there's different pieces that advocate towards happiness. There's certain ways you obtain happiness, and there is long-term happiness and there's short-term happiness. And short-term happiness is just like doing like drugs and alcohol and just like partying all the time. That's a very immediate satisfaction, short-term happiness. But there's long-term happiness, which is living a very successful life. And success is dependent on everyone's viewpoint. But I think if you can just have a steady job, be able to support yourself and really take it back to the basics of like owning a house one day and being able, if you want to have kids, being able to raise your kids, but making it so that you're not in the jails and you're being able to be in society as like a, as a like a good citizen or like a responsible adult?
So, you know, two things, though. The one thing you hit on was the snowboard, and then that kind of changed to the skateboarding aspect, too. I think it's interesting, you know, sometimes our passions, that what we're good at and what we love to do, are sometimes in our childhood. And, you know, it seems so far-fetched maybe for some people to think of snowboarding or skateboarding, but like you said, you still continue to enjoy it. Welding, you know, is a creative part of your mind that you're using. You're using your hands, and so that kind of draw you into the career. So that's a nice transition if you really think about it. And the second thing you mentioned, you know, we talked a little bit about your biography before the show and some of the adversity that you'd face, and you kind of just talked about, you know, the long-term happiness. Can you talk to me about your what you experienced in your life that where you had some setbacks, and how were you able to overcome that?
Yes. Thank you for asking that question. It's real. That actually is a lot of where I come from. I was put on a drug called Ritalin when I was in the fourth grade. And before the drug, I was pretty happy. I was doing well enough in class. I felt I felt pretty good. You know, I was getting along with everybody really well. You know, I was nominated class clown. Like, it was evident that I could get along with people. And then after the drug, I started to become less popular, like almost immediately. And I wasn't eating as much. I'm pretty sure I missed a couple growth spurts because of the drug as well. And I remember from when I was in seventh grade, I was sitting with a teacher, and she ended up getting getting frustrated enough with me that she said, just, Ian, like, just go away right now. Like, I just can't explain it right now, type of thing. And it was because I just wasn't comprehending what she was saying, like, at all. And I know she was busy. I'm sure she had something to do, but I never had a teacher act that way before I was on the drug. You know, I remember being more perceptive, more aware of what was going on, what was being said, being able to comprehend information was slightly easier for me. But it was something about the drug that made it harder for me to connect with people. I think I naturally had a hard time learning, but that just gave me an even harder time learning. And because of that, I wasn't very interested in school. And throughout the time, I figured out, you know, because they were basically saying, you have a problem, by putting me on the drug. They said, you're too noisy in class. You're not able to do this well enough. You're not paying enough attention. And I took that and internalized it. And over the years, I was like, you know what? I'm taking what they're saying, but I bet that if I change my eating habits and my diet around, then I will be able to accomplish the same thing without their drugs. And so freshman year, ninth grade, it was actually in the eighth grade, I got off the drugs, and I still had a hard time having friends, and I still had a hard time getting along with others, and I still had a hard time going through school. But it wasn't like when I was on the drugs, where it was like three times as hard, I would say, you know. And then after getting off the drugs, it was a little bit easier for me, and it took me years. I remember times where I would have a conversation with someone, and I would forget everything they had said within the first probably 2 minutes, and I would re-ask the same question that I had just asked 2 minutes ago. So I start there, and I'm just trying to figure out how to improve my brain and how to make it more cognizant, I could say, to be more aware. And throughout the years, like more than 15 years later, like I'm in a much better place. I get along really well with people now. My mind is very much sharper than it ever was. And I'm really happy just where I'm at in life. I'm very proud of myself, I could say.
It's awesome. You know, I appreciate you sharing that, you know, especially as being as personal as it is, because yeah, we all struggle. I've talked to a lot of different people from different careers, and uh-huh, talked to psychologists and just doctors and different people who have struggled with either might be mental illness, mm-hmm, somebody's going through stress, anxiety, depression, and those themes it's really hard to talk about those in our society. You know, there's a stigma. And yeah, so I think more people that come out, just as, you know, this is a little bit different because you're talking about, you know, maybe a chemical, you know, like you said, like a drug, you know, tolerance or issues or anything like that. So, you know, I appreciate you sharing your story. Thank you. And so I did want to get to some of the questions because we did have some come in about welding. And yeah. So I wanted to ask you some of these. So the first question that comes in is, can you advance your career in welding, or is it just simply you working with your hands, or is there ways you can work up in the industry?
Let me make sure I understand. Advancing your career, meaning like doing other
parts? Moving up the career ladder. What does it look like? I think they want to they want to work in welding, but they want to move up to eventually, have a career progression, if you will, maybe be a director or something like that. Is that possible in welding, or is it just, you're out in the field for 30 years?
No, you can. Usually it starts off as you get into an apprenticeship. That's the lowest starting position. And that's, you'll also get paid well, even if you're apprenticing. And then after that, you will get to be a more experienced welder, where you will be paid more. And then if you perform really well and you can excel at doing everything you're doing, you can be what's known as a foreman, which is basically a boss of a job site. Normally what happens is there is a company, and the company has groups of people, and you would be the head of the group. And you would say, you're going to go do this, you're going to go do this. Instead of being told what to do, you are now going to tell others what to do. So, and that's always a very promising thing, because they give you a vehicle, they give you your own welder, they give you the tools, you know, they're giving you a large responsibility realistically, which is good, because it makes it so that you have to be motivated enough and show up, because other people are depending on you at that point.
Gotcha. Thanks for that. And so the next question comes in is, I realize college isn't for me. I didn't take welding in high school. Okay. What advice would you recommend me to do to get started in that career today?
You can go to technical schools. It's like just like college, but you can go to a technical school where you can learn the trade there. There's also going into an apprenticeship program, which is working with the trades people, kind of like job shadowing, but you have to do certain things on the job. Like, you're employed is what it is, and you're getting paid to be there, but it is an opportunity to learn from everyone and experience it. Depending on your age range, if you're, I think, below 24, I would highly suggest checking out a program called Job Corps. If you use it correctly, you can get started as apprenticeship. It's like a pre-apprentice program, and then you can go out into the world and start doing an actual apprenticeship. The pre-apprenticeship is so nice because it walks you into the trade without any like worried about having loss of the job or anything like that. It's a very safe place to be. And they also give you money when you graduate from the program. So there's a lot of benefits if you attend Job Corps and use it correctly, because there's groups of people, just like there's bad groups of people everywhere. So you just got to stay in the right groups, be with the right people, do the right thing, and you can graduate and you can have a good path to go down.
That's great advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. The next question that comes in, it says, you mentioned that you did a little bit on your skateboard. Do you actually make your own skateboards?
No, I've never made a skateboard. It's I've spent a lot of time skateboarding, that's for sure. Just being on a board itself, I started back in 1998. And just until more recently, I have toned it down a bit, just because my body's taken quite a beating from it. So... Got to be thinking about my long-term life as well.
And the last question that comes in, it said, you mentioned something about safety risks that some people may stay away from. They ask, what are the safety risks involved in welding? I mean, obviously, they probably know, you know, it's a hot, you know, it's a torch. So obviously, but what else should people be concerned about safety-wise or be careful of?
Yeah. So it's kind of a two-part question. The first part about safety is, if you want to be safer and check it out on just a casual, more comfortable level, I would say get into fabrication first. If you wanted to, that might not be an option. Going out onto the job, though, if you look, ironworking and doing welding outside is within one of the top most dangerous jobs. It's not, I wouldn't take it lighthearted. Like there is some potential dangers involved with it. And that's personally why I choose to do more fabrication work, because the risk level is so much lower. I mean, you're just going into the same location. You're not walking on ceilings. You're not walking on different parts that can be like, I've walked on beams that were literally like this wide, you know, less than 6 inches. And I could have fallen down a whole story. You know, that's just like a part of the job. It's the nature of things. Some people never, I have a buddy who's been in the trade for like, who's worked for the same company for, I don't know, 16 years. He's never had a serious injury ever. But if you work in a fabrication shop, you're going to be on the ground. You're going to be working with similar materials all the time. And the risk level is significantly lower. And so that's the safe way to go into it.
That makes sense. So if you're working on a skyscraper and you're up on the, you know, 80th floor and you're up there welding on a beam, you know, obviously that's going to be a risky job because you risk of falling. So that makes sense, obviously. Well, you know, Ian, this has been fascinating, great information. I always get behind the trade schools. I think they're a very important part. We don't have enough of them in this country. So thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story. One more question. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, like follow you social media, or do you have a website or anywhere that they could get in touch with you at?
Yeah. Facebook is great. I am pretty good about being in contact with people on there. You can just find me as Ian Tolson, IAN, and then T as in Tom, OLSON. I also have my own podcast. If anybody wants to check that out too, I also give my personal information out on there. So
go ahead and where can they find your podcast if they're interested in listening more about you? Do you have a website or just a host or anything?
Yeah, if you actually find me on Facebook, or I'm on LinkedIn, I'm also on I'm also on Instagram. LinkedIn and Facebook are going to be easiest places to find me. But if you just type in Ian Tolson, just IAN, and then T as in Tom, OLSON as in Nancy, on Spotify or iTunes, I'm on Stitcher and a variety of other ones. Then that's a good way to find me.
And guys, what we'll do is we'll actually put those links into the broadcast video in the comment section. So if you guys are listening and you'd like to follow Ian or Ian and learn more about his show, podcasts, and or follow him on social media, you're welcome to do it. Hey, thank you so much for your time. We know you're very busy, and this was great. And we had a lot of good feedback. So I really do appreciate it, Ian.
That's awesome. My pleasure, Zach. I'm really happy to be on the show.
Well, thank you and have a great night.
You too. Cheers.